Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership mini podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in a nonprofit world. My name is David Landrulli, and I'm here with my good friend and partner, Margaret Katz-Kahn. Hey, Margaret.
Good morning, David.
And we're going to talk today in our ongoing series about these nasty characters that live. They're kind of like mind patterns called saboteurs. Yeah. And which one are we going to talk about today, Margaret?
Well, today we're going to talk about one that was inspired by David was in Colorado for a retreat recently. And so I got to see him, and we chose to rewatch the movie, the original Top Gun, which obviously people are talking about because of the new one. And we were talking about it afterwards and all the lessons from Top Gun. And one of the lessons was, wow, a lot of cheese in that movie.
That movie's so cheesy.
It's so cheesy. But we started talking.
There were a couple of leadership lessons in there.
There were a couple of leadership lessons. And the one we wanted to talk about was this hyper-vigilant saboteur, in part because it's so absent from Tom Cruise's character, from Maverick in the movie.
Maverick, I think the definition of a maverick is someone who throws a caution to the wind.
Right. And that's a different podcast. But this one is about the non maverick, right?
Exactly. So it's being a maverick is sort of opposite of being hypervigilant. And here's the thing, you know, Tom Cruise plays a Navy fighter pilot. And when I think about the movie and I think about Navy fighter pilots, you know, there is a certain amount of vigilance that's required to be a pilot. I mean, it's a highly skilled profession. And you don't want to be crashing airplanes. But the thing is, when you train, and this is like true in martial arts also, you know, you need to be vigilant, but hypervigilance actually is antithetical to being a fighter or a fighter pilot or a leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll have to say more about that, because that seems paradoxical.
Right. And I think that's true. Honestly, lots of these saboteurs are really when we get into kind of the extreme of a behavior.
Right.
So I think the difference here that needs to be named is between just being vigilant and this idea of hypervigilance.
Right.
And I think, you know, when we talk about this hypervigilant saboteur, I think the feeling for the saboteur is like disaster is around the next corner, or, you know, in the tree branch above your head, or hiding under your bed, or
everywhere. Danger is everywhere. So you have to be vigilant. Danger is everywhere. Like the phone rings, you know, and it's your spouse. Oh, what's that? What's happening?
Right. Yeah, right. She's just asking you to like get some eggs on the way home or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that what characterizes this is that sort of breathless, anxious, meaning the hypervigilant saboteur, this breathless, anxious feeling. But I think what it also holds is a belief that if you pay enough attention, somehow you can stop the bad thing from happening.
Right. If you're vigilant enough, then nothing bad will ever happen.
Right.
Yeah, that is false.
Which is a blatant lie. The universe
it's
never
a blatant
promised
lie.
That. Yeah.
No. Also, you know, it's coming to me that we do a fair amount of work around vulnerability in leadership, being vulnerable. Like we were on retreat together this past weekend, and you know, I was pretty vulnerable at a couple of times, especially in the second day after you had gone. It was a really vulnerable conversation for me, where I opened up about some of my views on current state of some things that are widely debated in politics these days that I hadn't really ever shared with people in that group before. Mm-hmm. And for me, that comes out of a place of being vigilant and caring about relationships and not wanting to disturb things. And But then, like, you're armoring up, like you're not letting, you're shutting down intimacy. You're not, like, people who are hypervigilant, you don't know anything about them.
Yeah, it's true. I think, you know, there's impacts with these saboteurs. There's impacts both on us when we are in that saboteur pattern, but there's also impact on the people who we spend right. time with when we're in that pattern. And so I think the impact on self for this saboteur is just exhaustion, you know, anxiety.
Yeah, you know, you're very always anxious. Amped up
nervous system all the time. Yeah. And the impact on other people is it's exhausting to be around you.
Right? Not only that,
you,
yes.
David, but
neither of us actually. So we just should be clear here. Neither right. Margaret nor I have a hypervigilant. We are willing to take new risks and have done so in our lives. Most recently, you know, Margaret, big risk stepping, you know, away from a longtime marriage and entering, you know, a whole new realm of relationship in your life. I mean, hugely big leap that a lot of people won't take.
Yeah, it was a big trust fall.
Trust fall. Hypervigilant would never do a trust fall. They would be like, walk away from it because they don't trust anybody. That's the other impact on the team. They don't trust anybody. They never will.
Right.
It destroys relationships.
Yeah. It's hard to see best intentions from that space. And there's something really interesting there, right? Like, we find what we're looking for, right? So if you look at somebody and you don't trust them and you expect bad things to happen, I'm pretty sure that is more likely to go that way than to, you know, than to always be pleasantly surprised, right? I mean, I think we sometimes create in mm-hmm. other people what we expect from them.
Very hard time delegating.
Yeah, right.
Because if I delegate this, this person might make a mistake and that will hurt my reputation, or, you know, that'll have a negative consequence on me. They'll make a mistake and, you know, I got to, this is where the controller comes in too.
Well, yeah.
You'll see this, like we talked about the controller and, but the hypervigilant will check in every 10 minutes.
How's it going? How you doing?
Yeah.
What's that on your page? That's not your essay, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's not your presentation. You're not going to use that slide, are you? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Let me see all your slides.
Yeah. I feel like the controller, the stickler, which we've talked about those two, and it feels like hypervigilant is like a triplet with those, or a cousin, ooh. Right? Like they're all ways of controlling, trying to control. Well, they're ways of living in the illusion of what you can control.
It's very interesting. I had this conversation with Lillian last night when I got back from the retreat, and she was with her two other sisters while I was away. And they were talking about cell phones. And I guess there's some app where you can track your kids all the time.
Certain there are those apps, yes.
Yeah. And both of her sisters do that and are constantly monitoring their children. And Lillian shared, like, no. And my daughter was there, and all of our daughters were together at this big dinner. I wasn't there, but Lillian's like, no, we don't do that. And then our daughter Claudia was like, yeah, my parents trust me. I keep in touch with them. I let them know where I am and what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. And again, so I wonder
when I heard this. When I heard this conversation, and it's brilliant that we're talking about it today. We actually just decided to do this morning in the moment. And I said to Lillian, who's been through our positive intelligence program, I was like, ooh, yeah, that they're both very hypervigilant.
Yeah. Yeah. And as with all of these, you know, just from a space of compassion, as with every one of these saboteurs, they are developed strategically and protectively for us, you know, and I think often people who, you know, who developed this, it just didn't feel super safe, right, as a kid.
No, definitely not. Early high childhood trauma about not being safe like really not being safe.
Right.
Not just even the appearance of not being safe, right. but
kids who were bullied or or probably kids or who were exposed to traumatic events in a community, those kinds of things. So I do think that that's where this comes from. But I mean, it's a reaction to something you couldn't control.
Right.
As a child.
Exactly. But, and now as an adult, and as a leader in an organization, you still think you have to make everything safe.
Yeah.
And the reality is it's impossible. This is where this causes a lot of stress.
Right. And
the you'll go around and try to make everything safe for yourself and others, except that will exhaust you because you can't, and cause a lot of anxiety because you can't possibly make everything safe.
Right. It's not how we build trust.
Not how we build trust. It's not even how we effectively protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's hard to distinguish them. Like, what do I really need to be vigilant about? And what I can let go.
Yeah. David, how have you noticed people practicing PQ? Do you have hypervigilant people that you can think of who have gone through the program?
Yeah, I have. And
this seems to me like it would be a really hard one to put down.
It's a very tough one.
It's like in your nervous system.
It's very tough. So I would say that the clients with whom I've worked in the PQ program, positive intelligence, who recognize that this saboteur is not serving them as well now as an adult as it did when they were younger, it's baby steps.
Yeah.
Like letting people, like being seen, like letting people in a little bit more, or delegating more and not checking in. These are like little steps leaders can take. I mean, there are people I know who, this may not be like one of their strongest saboteurs, and yet vulnerability is very tough for them. And it's a self-protective mechanism.
Sure. Well, it feels like the opposite of being armored up, right?
It's completely opposite. You actually, in Brené Brown's work, which you and I know and very well and share with lots of our clients, it's about shedding the armor, which, so that people can see into you, intimacy, see into me. Yeah. And that's what great leaders do. And let's say effective. And that's very hard to do with if you're hypervigilant.
Yeah. So I think in the show notes, we can usually point our listeners to a tip sheet, which talks a little bit more about the specifics of this. And again, all of this comes from Shehrzad Shamim's work in positive intelligence.
And I think there'll be a link in our show notes to the positive intelligence coaching program. So if this is resonating with you, in other words, if you find, I realize I'm a bit too vigilant,
I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted from having to always protect everything. And I realize this is causing harm on my team because they don't trust me, and I'm always nagging them. Then, there'll be a resource for you there. You can make some progress with this actually and still be safe. So with that, I will bring it home. This mini podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now go put it into practice.